Well, this is Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty, coming to you from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay, and bringing you the news behind the news, the story behind the story. Hoping to convince you that reality is usually scoffed at, illusion is usually king. But in the battle for survival of Western civilization, it's going to be reality, not illusion or delusion, that's going to determine what the future will bring. I have to remind you the views that are expressed here are not necessarily those of the owners, management, staff, sponsors, or supporters of the station you're listening to. They happen to be my views, the views of our guests, the views of our callers, and we welcome your calls from out across America at 1-888-24-LIBERTY. That's 1-888-24-LIBERTY. Or here in the Central Coast of California at 464-8295. But please hold your calls for the time being, because we have with us on the line from back in Annapolis, Maryland, Pastor David Whitney from the Institute of the Constitution, a group of dedicated patriots trying to get people to understand the foundations of our freedom. Pastor David Whitney, thank you so much for being with us again.
Columbus Day, we surely should note that here's a Christian man who's been sadly misrepresented, and in a sense what he established and what he was looking to establish was the evangelization of this part of the world. Although he thought he was sailing to the Indies, his goal was to take the gospel there, and as a matter of fact, he saw himself fulfilling biblical prophecy, specifically Isaiah 60 and verse 9, "Surely the isles shall wait for me," the Lord said, "and the ships of Tarshish," which is another word for Spain, "the ships of Tarshish first, to bring thy sons from afar, their silver and their gold with them unto the name of the Lord thy God, and to the Holy One of Israel, because he hath glorified thee." And so while Christopher Columbus certainly had his flaws and faults, nonetheless he was a Christian seeking to advance the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ into the unknown parts of the world that had not heard the gospel yet. For that reason deserves our honor. Even on this day.
But of course the thing is that everything has been done to deprecate Christopher Columbus, and he was a bad white guy and he just wanted to steal everything from the natives, because of course if you can deprecate Christopher Columbus and the founding fathers of America and not teach people about the Bill of Rights and about the Declaration of Independence, about the Constitution, and convince them that we're a democracy and that whatever the government says goes, and that certainly the Supreme Court makes up the laws of this land, can change them at any time they want to. Why, we have lost all of our concepts of rule by law, and we've established rule by man, which of course always leads eventually to dictatorship.
And the sad reality is that most Americans don't know the truth. They don't know the worldview of our founding fathers, that it was a biblical worldview, particularly as they thought about law and government and what they viewed as good government, based upon God's law, that God's law is absolute, supreme, and any human law made that violates God's law is rubbish. And of course, God's law is found in the Bible. That's where it's clearly explained to us. We don't need to wonder what God thinks or muse about it. Instead, we just read it, and by reading it, then we can apply it in a civil society. And that's exactly what they did in the founding era. We've talked about the Declaration of Independence and the reasons why they knew they had a God-given right to separate from England. It was clear, and they stated it in 28 reasons there in the Declaration. But moreover, they expressed in the Declaration the clear philosophy of government that they were establishing this new country upon, and that was that there is a Creator God. Our rights come only from our Creator God. Therefore, they're unalienable, cannot be taken away. They come from God, and the whole purpose, the sole reason for government instituted among men is that that government would secure, protect, and defend our God-given rights. And when a government doesn't do that, it does the opposite, then we have a God-given right to replace that government, which is exactly what they did in the Declaration of Independence.
But of course, the law of our land is not what the president says, not what the legislature said. The law of the land is the Constitution.
Mm-hmm.
And when we have lawbreakers at the highest echelons of a government, why, of course, we have terrorists working in Washington, D.C. Well, this is Dr. Stan here at Radio Liberty, coming to you from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay. Our guest this afternoon is Pastor David Whitney from the Institute of the Constitution, and we are talking about the American form of government. And, of course, this form of government is different than any other form of government there's ever been. We are really a true republic, but our government is different than that. We acknowledge that our freedoms come from God. And that's what the Declaration of Independence says. And that governments are instituted to actually protect our God-given rights. This is right from the Declaration of Independence, never taught in our schools today. And they will try to tell you this is not a Christian nation, and yet the Constitution was signed in the day of our Lord. And in 1787, you will find out that the president has a certain amount of time to work, sign bills excluding Sundays. Why? Because Sunday was a holy day in when this country was founded, and the men who drew up our Constitution knew that Sunday or Saturday was the Sabbath, and that was the very, very special day in the heart and minds of Christians. And everyone who established this country knew we were a Christian nation. Now, we had many sects of Christianity. That's why they didn't say we're Presbyterian or Anglican or Congregational. But repeatedly, the Supreme Court has held America was a Christian nation until, of course, the wicked people took over control of the Supreme Court under the rule of FDR and Harry Truman, both who were Masons, and transformed our society. Well, let's get to what we're going to talk about today with Pastor David Whitney of the Institute of the Constitution. David, pick up the story.
Well, as they signed that Declaration of Independence, they immediately had lost their colonial governments, that is, the governments that had ruled them up to that point in time in each of the 13 colonies, no longer was legitimate government. So when they returned from Philadelphia after signing the Declaration, the first order of business was to form state governments, and each state formed its own constitution and developed its structure of government that began to operate at that point in time. And then they regathered, and Congress drafted, John Dickinson was the one who led this committee in 1776, drafted Articles of Confederation, a way in which the 13 brand new states could work together and coordinate among one another. It's not truly a constitution, the Articles of Confederation. It's more of a compact among states that they agreed to certain things. For example, it established very clearly the sovereignty of each of these 13 states. These states were their own nation, you could see. I know I've read people early in the history of Maryland that between the Declaration and the beginning of the 19th century would say, "My nation is Maryland."
Hold that thought.
That was the attitude.
Hold that thought. Well, this is Dr. Stan, and our guest this afternoon is Pastor David Whitney, and he was talking about how after the Declaration of Independence was signed, why suddenly we had, in effect, dissolved the existing government. So each one of our 13 colonies established its own state government, its own constitution, and then they actually drew up something called the Articles of Confederation, which were then aimed at uniting the 13 individual states into some sort of a union. It wasn't a constitution, it was just an agreement on how they were going to get along. And everybody considered themselves not as a citizen of the United States, but a citizen of Maryland, citizen of Virginia. So pick up the story there.
And that's an important concept to remember, because that idea that I was a citizen of my state and therefore I was part of the United States, United small u, because my state was in league or in a confederation with these other states, that is a very strong concept that was basically drummed out of the minds of Americans in the war between the states. You recall what the southern states called themselves. They called themselves a confederacy. They actually developed a constitution very similar to our constitution, but they recognized that what was slipping away, even at that early stage in the history of our land, what was slipping away was the concept of the sovereignty of each state. That each state was its own sovereign government, and that the centralized government in Washington, D.C., by the design of our founders, was a very limited centralized government. It did not have all powers. It had a very limited list of powers, and it could only function in those limited areas that had been granted to it. Any areas not stated that it had powers over by the Constitution, the Ninth Amendment said, those are reserved to the states. In fact, if you read the Federalist Papers, it's very clear that our founders understood that the states had enormous, wide-ranging powers, and the federal government had very limited power. Well, now that whole system has been turned on its head. The federal government has enormous powers, and the states have very limited, and sometimes almost no power whatsoever. They just wind up being mere subdivisions of some federalized bureaucracy, and therefore when states pass laws, the Supreme Court routinely strikes down state laws, when the design was that the Supreme Court would be the check on the federal government, not on the state government, but on the federal government. So I mention this in the context of the Articles of Confederation, because the sovereignty of the states was critically important in the founding of our country, not just during the Declaration and Articles of Confederation stage, but in the formation of the Constitution, and at least 70, 80 years following the Constitution, it was clear each of the states is sovereign in and of itself. It's not a political subdivision of the United States.
And, of course, as Jefferson wrote so well, and if you'd like to see what he wrote, and we have it, the Master Thoughts of Thomas Jefferson.
Impeachment in his day, and following that quote, in his day, he saw impeachment as a scarecrow. He said, it's not likely to be used, people are afraid of using it, it's just there on paper, but it has no power. I disagree with Jefferson on that point, because not only Article 3, Section 2, as you mentioned, reigning in the judiciary in terms of saying it cannot rule on these issues, but also impeaching judges as soon as judges do anything which violates the really after the same purpose, the same goals as the Articles of Confederation. They were not repudiating the purposes of the Articles of Confederation. Rather, they were saying, you know, the way we structured it, it did not work well. We need to make some changes, but the purposes were the same. Now, one of the problems that it addressed was the rights of citizens as they went to another state. So, you know, move from Maryland to Thank you.
We have troops in 130 nations. Do you really think they're defending America? Are they imposing our rule? Do you think that we are... That is really, they're trained for combat. They're trained to kill and destroy. That's the function of the military. That is how you win a war. War is a terrible, terrible thing. So why do they want to use the American military against him? We dismantled their police force, we dismantled their civil service and said, oh shucks, looky there. Why, there's chaos. Well, we're just going to have to stay here indefinitely. And we're not doing anything at all to do what really needs to be done.
most important books you'll ever read, and available by calling 1-800-5-HI.
Body towards wellness, and we're confident you'll love the difference your body can make.
Done now in the American.
They reined the military in, that the military was under the control of the sovereign states. The costs for war were to be paid out of the Confederate treasury, that is, of all the states combined that Congress was in control of. And the articles, of course, spell out the powers of Congress and speak of a committee of states that when Congress is in recess, nine states could make decisions in behalf of Congress while Articles of Confederation that really turned out to be a great weakness was that unanimous consent of all 13 states was required for any amendment of these Articles of Confederation. That meant everybody had to agree that was representing their states. Every state ratification was just thank you.
soon will become simply a remembrance of things past. David, how can people get in touch with the Institute of the Constitution and learn about what you're doing?
Actually, we encourage them to host a class themselves, not teach. With some of our friends in Utah, a move throughout every district of Utah to hold an Institute on the Constitution there to train people in these principles and then to unleash them to only elect people to the State House of Utah and to the Congress that will follow the Founding Fathers' principles.
Well, I think that's really exciting to know this is taking place not only in Utah, but all across America. How many states have they hosted these meetings, David?
Currently 47 states, and many of the states are becoming more active. We have more classes graduating this year than we had the previous year, and that's more than the year before that. So it's growing as more and more Americans are recognizing there's something wrong. There's something desperately wrong, and they may not be able to put their finger on it until they study what our founders taught and believed, what they structured our form of government to be, and how it's being violated today, not only in Washington, D.C., but sadly in state capitals as well.
Well, I certainly agree with you, and I think it's so vitally important that people begin to get a grasp of what's really going on in our country today, and that we're losing our freedom because we don't understand the foundation of our freedom, and there really are people who would love to rule over us. There have always been those who felt that they should rule, that we need a ruling aristocracy. And that's just the direction we're heading today when we have both presidential candidates in 2004 coming from the same secret society from Yale University, and both of them, when asked about Skull and Bone, said, "Oh, it's so secret, we can't comment on it." And then they never noticed how they sort of smile at one another. I think they're just saying, "I wonder how dumb the American people really are." Well, David, let's pick up the story of the Articles of Confederation and how it was then we came to establish the Constitution when the convention had been called in Philadelphia there in 1787 simply to rework the Articles of Confederation.
That's right, and the reason that convention was called is people recognized there were some glaring problems with the Articles of Confederation. That is, asking the states to voluntarily give money for the purposes Congress had slated it for. For example, the war. The war for independence, we won just by a hair's breadth because we received a great deal of help, specifically from France, who had a natural enemy in England and wanted to see England defeated. But the problem with the war largely was a financial problem. You know, our boys at Valley Forge and other places suffered greatly because they didn't have adequate shoes or clothing. Often they didn't have adequate armaments, not enough gunpowder or bullets. I mean, you can't fight a war if you don't have ammunition. And the problem was, all that Congress could do would say, you know, we need $10,000 for whatever it is for the Army, and we send out a requisition to the 13 states and ask them to make a contribution. And, of course, the state legislatures at that point in time were not year-round, and so they would only meet for part of the year. And when they'd meet, you know, they'd look through all the different things they were dealing with and pay all their bills, so to speak. And, well, if there's any money left over, well, yeah, okay, we can send some to Congress to pay for that. So it really hampered the war effort tremendously that the federal government had no taxing powers and the states were not very cooperative in meeting the needs that really were very real needs.
But I think it's so important to recognize that when they...
Highly unlikely because Congress couldn't raise any money itself. So people refused after a while to accept this currency. They said, I want gold or silver. I want something of value. I don't want this worthless continental. And by May 14th, though, when the day it was supposed to start, there was only two delegates from two states, and so the convention actually didn't begin until the 25th of May. But those days, from the 14th of May to the 25th of May, 1787, were vitally important. During that time, Madison and others from Virginia prepared what's known as the Virginia Resolves, which basically set out an agenda for the Constitution Convention, and that's often why James Madison is rightly called the father of our Constitution. His ideas and his thoughts as he put them down and began to draft an agenda ultimately sticks to convention. Thank you.
Orthodox.
When was the last time you used pure soap? I mean real, hard-to-find, all-natural pure soap that contains no dyes, perfumes, deodorants, or antibacterials. Probably never, right? Hey, folks, Michael Trudeau here, and I want to tell you about my friend Marty. He's the owner and founder of the Calben Soap Company. For the past 55 years, the Calben Soap Company has been making triple-concentrated pure soaps exclusively.
BHM gives my children the tools to succeed and
I
And there really are people who have a different worldview because they march to a different drumbeat. They hear a different trumpet. They hear a different trumpet. Thank you.